American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across America. I am delighted to have you with me. The phone number, should you wish to be on the program, 877-973-7425. I actually do have to start with a very quick housekeeping note. I welcomed on Monday all the fine folks in Brunswick. So I was on a radio station down in Brunswick, Georgia. The station flipped to be a top 40 station. And you don't even want to hear me sing, so no longer on the top 40 station. And now I'm back, or I will be, but I said on Monday I was back, and I'm not yet. It's this coming Monday. I was confused. So if you're listening in Brunswick, starting on Monday on WGIG, I'll be on, although I'll be in delay in the evenings, not live, but I will be there. In the meantime, you can always text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. And you can get the live stream, the show notes, the podcast. You can listen to me live or in delay, however you like. Now, I want to begin first. It is Juneteenth. I didn't even realize it was Juneteenth today. I got into the parking garage and there was nobody here. It's like, what's going on today? Is there a holiday I missed? Yes, Juneteenth. So I promptly called all of my non-white employees and told them they had the day off. All the white guys, you got to work today. But everybody else has taken the day off in fact, I'm paying them extra, because it's Juneteenth. The white guys though, we're all at work today. I totally forgot it was Juneteenth, which I am totally fine with isn't it amazing though? All the conservatives who were upset with the idea of Juneteenth, they're all on the golf course today. I know, 'cause I'm getting text messages from various ones who are outside enjoying the day because they're off. Their DEI departments insisted you better not come to work today or you're a racist. So everybody's off for Juneteenth. Happy June. If you were wondering and you thought maybe the rapture had happened because nobody was out, no, actually it's Juneteenth. People slept in today. Reminds me of the old Chris Rock joke that he doesn't understand why white people are upset about a MLK day, that if he had a KKK day, he would have taken it off too and grilled out and celebrated. It was a fantastic line from Chris Rock. But nonetheless, all you white people who are upset about Juneteenth, well, congratulations. You've got a day off work, except for my team, because I totally forgot today was a holiday. I wouldn't take off this one anyway because I was off a couple of weeks ago. Nonetheless, a fine day to be off. We got 4th of July coming up too. In the meantime, we must discuss Scientific America. You are aware, I'm sure, that Scientific American is a science publication that hasn't been very sciencely of late. This is one of the more interesting facts in life, is how woke ideology is increasingly pervasive in parts of our society that it used to not be in, including the sciences. To reiterate something I said, and I really, this has to be emphasized. Every living thing in the world, every living thing, is classified scientifically. And the typical way that I learned as a kid, and it's changed a little bit, but it's still kind of the same. King Philip came over from Great Spain. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. So human beings are in the animal kingdom. There are plants, there are microbes, there are animals. We're in the animal kingdom. We are multicellular, therefore We're plant or animal. We are living and have brains, and we move about. Therefore, we're animals. We're not plants. We're not rooted into the ground. We're in the chordata phylum. Why? Because of all the animals that are out there, we have spinal cords, and the chordata is about those who have the semblance of some sort of spinal cord. Of the spinal corded animals, we are in the class that are mammals. Why? Because, well, we're not birds. We don't have wings. We're not fish living under the sea. We are mammals, so we walk about the earth, and we have mammary glands. The female species within the mammal class produces milk. Dolphins are a chordate animal that are mammals. The female produces milk even though they're in the ocean. They are air breathing with spinal cords, and they're in the class of mammals. They're not amphibians. They're not reptiles. They're mammals. And then we are primates. Within the class of mammals, we're in the order of primates. And primates tend to walk upright, tend to have larger brains, tend to have greater visual acuity with a reduced sense of smell, and then opposable thumbs. And then of those, we're in the hominids. Hominids in particular walk upright with their rear off the ground. Many of them are land-dwelling, not tree-dwelling. We're hominids. And then we're in the genus Homo, of which we are the last surviving species. Now, here's what's notable. In that whole classification, when you get to mammals, there is not a order, family, genus, or species within the class of mammals that can swap sexes. So males cannot become females. And in fact, among Homo sapiens, the only way for you to even pretend to do that is copious amounts of drugs and surgery. The idea that men and women are socially constructed orders is outside of science. It's nonsense. It's gobbledygook. It's pseudoscience. Even within the class of mammals, the females bear children and produce milk, and the male does not. In within mammals, there is a distinction between male and female. It's not socially created. You reflect this in nature. Despite the copious amounts of pseudoscience documentaries NBC News wishes to produce with gay monkeys and chimpanzees and transsexual or transgender zebras, it's not actually so. They just make it up to try to justify themselves. And Scientific America is a magazine that is supposed to be scientific, and it has embraced the pseudoscience to embrace a progressive agenda. And now Scientific America is embracing the rest of the pseudoscientific agenda of the progressives. And here is the story from no less than the editors of the publication itself. The people who believe that you can have transgender penguins want you to know, quote, children deserve uniform standards in homeschooling. With few states tracking who is being homeschooled and what they are learning, an untold number of U.S. students are at risk of a poor education or even abuse. The number of children being educated at home has been growing for the past few decades. No one knows by how much, and that is part of the problem. Homeschooling is barely tracked or regulated in the United States, but children deserve a safe and robust education, whether they attend a traditional school or are educated at home. A safe and robust education where you can learn the gender unicorn. That's right. You know, my daughter, when she went for a review of Georgia Tech, for one of the major engineering departments, had to go sit in the LGBTQ plus safe space, talk pronouns to a woman who was wearing an Ask Me About My Pronouns button and had a poster of the gender unicorn behind her. Very sciency. The National Center for Education Statistics reported that by last count in 2019, nearly 3% of U.S. students, 1.5 million, were being homeschooled. This number calculated from a nationwide survey is surely an undercount because the homeschooling population is notoriously hard to survey and more children have been homeschooled since the COVID pandemic began. Why do you think that is, Scientific America? Maybe it's because the scientific community was telling people we got to shut schools down in America? 11 states do not require parents to inform anyone they're homeschooling a child. And in most of the country, once a child has exited the traditional schoolroom environment, no one checks to ensure they're receiving an education at all. You know, when Brian Kemp in Georgia was asked about shutting schools down in the state, he was under enormous pressure to do so. And one of his major concerns about shutting down public schools was the number of kids who might be abused at home. And he didn't want kids to be home all day if they were in an abusive environment. And he was roundly mocked by progressives for raising that concern. And now here comes the progressives at Scientific American saying, kids might be home being abused by their parents. And how would we ever know? Kids are getting abused in schools. Kids are getting shot up in schools. In public schools, the public schools are failing. You people don't want school choice, and now you don't want homeschool. You want everyone forced to be in a public school where you can teach them about the gender unicorn instead of ABCs and 1-2-3s. Condi Rice was at a Reagan forum, and she was asked about school choice in the country. Listen to this.
So are you for school choice or not? We already have a choice system in education. If you are of means, you will move to a district where the schools are good and the houses are expensive, like Palo Alto, California. If you go across the street from Stanford, Palo Alto High has a performance arts center that looks like a smaller version of Stanford's. If you're really wealthy, you will send your kids to private schools. So who's stuck in failing neighborhood schools? Poor kids. A lot of them minority kids. So how can you say you're for civil rights? How can you say you're for the poor when you're condemning those children to not being able to read by the time they're in third grade, they're never gonna read? So if you wanna say that school choice and vouchers and charter schools are destroying the public schools, fine. You write that editorial in the Washington Post, but then don't send your kids to Sidwell Friends.
Amen, amen, amen. Listen to this. This is Scientific America. Again, an organization that has rejected science for the pseudoscience zeitgeist of the left these days. It is clear that homeschooling will continue to lack accountability for outcomes or even basic safety in most states. But federal mandates for reporting and assessment to protect children doesn't need to be onerous. For example, homeschool parents could be required to pass an initial background check, as every state requires for K through 12 teachers. Homeschool instructors could be required to submit documents every year to their local school district or to a state agency to show their children are learning. What? Federal mandates don't need to be onerous. We're just going to make parents have a background check before they're allowed to teach their kids. So the parents that the kids come home to at night every day, you don't think the kids should be able to stay home with them in the day because they might be abused. What happens? The parents turn off the abuse switch at night. Abuse could happen anywhere. Abuse is happening in public schools. Every single day there's a story out about that. Do you know, here's the thing that even you have to concede, and in fact, you do concede it in your piece. Listen to this. Homeschool students have won the National Spelling Bee. One was the most prolific mathematician in history. Many are well-rounded and well-adjusted kids. And some suffer horrific abuse. Using the abuse to say all parents need background checks, this is where the left is headed. If Joe Biden wins again, you know they're coming for your homeschoolers. They end with this. Education is a basic human right. We need to make sure kids have chances to investigate what makes them curious, study history and science and reading and ask questions and learn from others. We want them to reach adulthood ready to take on the world. You know, the average homeschooler is more ready to take on the world than the average public school student in the United States. You people show no concern at all for the kids stuck in failing public schools. You just don't like the fact that parents might keep their kids home and away from your ability to indoctrinate them into progressivism. This isn't Scientific America. This is pseudoscience nonsense brought to you by a once popular publication that's decided to embrace wokeism to their detriment. And now they want to force it on you and your kids. People, you need to pay attention to this. It's not hyperbole. These are the editors of Scientific American. They are coming for your children.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome, it's Eric Erickson. Okay. I admit at this point I'm hate watching Acolyte on Disney Plus, the Star Wars series that is so woke and so bad. And forget all the woke stuff, it's just poor writing. But there's a perfect example from last night's episode, which was the best episode so far. But that's like saying a turd sandwich is better than a turd because there are two pieces of bread that you get to eat with it. And what's so terrible about last night's episode is, in addition to the plot device they failed to actually deploy correctly, is the poor dialogue and writing collided with wokeism. So there's a new creature in the Star Wars universe. I forget what it's called, but this particular creature's name is Basil. And the lead character has never seen any of these creatures before and so turns to a Jedi to ask, what is this thing? And this is the dialogue.
Who is that? That's Basil. Is he or they with us?
Is he or they with us? It's a single creature. But notice the Jedi says Basil, and so the woke character immediately presumes, oh, Basil, masculine name, therefore can't be a girl, so it's either got to be a he or a they, can't be a she. The female character writes out females from the Star Wars universe because the creature's name is Basil, which is a socially constructed name to apply male, so it can't be female, but maybe it's a they. I told you the dialogue and the acting were atrocious. And that's where the wokeism and the dialogue collided. But then what's more is they spend two whole episodes on how this particular Wookiee Jedi is impossible to find because he's on an uncharted planet inside a massively dense forest, and it's going to take so long to find him. They have to hire this creature, Basil, to try to find him. And literally everybody finds him within about 15 minutes, and he's already been murdered by somebody else. That's how easy it was to find him after multiple episodes explaining how impossibly hard it was going to be to find the guy. The whole show is a mess, and this doesn't even get into the cave made of stone that burned down. Yes, maybe the stone identified as being a tree. So stupid. You know what's not stupid? Using Vision Computers to build computers for you and to get their world-class tech support. 404 Compute, you can call them and talk to them. They will build you a computer. But let's say you don't need a computer, you got a computer, but you do need tech support. Well, Vision can also be your tech support. Faster than a Google search, you can get an answer on how to do something on your computer. All you do is you call them 15 seconds or less, they give you the answer. They can even remote in if your computer's having problems, and you don't have to have bought a computer for Vision Computers. For $179 a year, they can be your tech support. And if you use my name when you call 404 Compute, you get an even better deal. So call them at 404 Compute. Tell them you need tech support for your home, or hey, small businesses, they can do it for you and your entire team at your office as well. $179 per computer a year. Not a month, not a day, not a week, a year. All you do is call them at 404 Compute. You can also go to visioncomputers.com, and they can build computers for you if you need computers, and they'll do a better job than the one-size-fits-all big box store by visioncomputers.com.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, y'all, we need to go on a wild ride now. I want you to prepare yourselves. Although many of you will just be nodding along with me. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, others, Rosa Parks, they all took the position of peaceful resistance. That peaceful resistance would turn people towards their cause. And you need to understand the philosophy here. And it's very simple that when you are peaceful and people are nasty to you, well-meaning people, particularly well-meaning Americans in this case, they're going to side with you because you didn't do anything wrong. Look at the turn of the tide on gay marriage as an example of this. Did you know there's been a massive fall off in support for gay marriage in this country? Gay marriage was never popular ultimately. In fact, even California voters rejected gay marriage. It was only imposed on the nation by the Supreme Court. Now, if I'm honest, I think eventually we would have come to get gay marriage in this country. My philosophical objection to the Supreme Court's decision was that the courts did not invent marriage, therefore the courts should not be able to change the definition of marriage. But I think the American people ultimately would have changed the definition. Wouldn't have for people in the church, mind you, they're bound to their scriptures of their faith. But for Americans generally, we would have eventually gotten to gay marriage. My objection to it the whole time was not that marriage should be between just a man and a woman, although as a Christian, that's what I believe. Mine was that the courts didn't invent it, neither did the United States. When the United States broke away from Great Britain and had its revolution, George and Martha Washington did not have to get remarried. They just recognized their marriage, the state did. So the state didn't create marriage, and therefore I don't think the state could redefine marriage. It's up to the people. It should have been a democratic process. And the Supreme Court short-circuited it. We would have eventually gotten there, though. But there's been a backlash, and now gay marriage is less popular than it's ever been since its enactment by the Supreme Court, and it really has nothing to do with gay Americans and their marriages. It has everything to do with the activists being so in your face about transgenderism and forcing bakers to bake cakes and shutting down florists who won't provide flowers. They've sparked a backlash. They couldn't live and let live. They had to be in everybody's face and demand your acceptance of their views. And it's caused a backlash. And now there's this growing movement in the country to be violent and lash out. And that's how activism is done, because in large part, it is an impatience for change. And when you convince people that we're all going to die, they don't want to be peaceful in their resistance to persuade people. They want to be in your face, and that sparks a backlash. Stonehenge has been damaged. Stonehenge, which has stood, 5,000 years or so? Stonehenge? Just Stop Oil protesters have sprayed orange paint all over the stones of Stonehenge. Now, you can say that doesn't damage Stonehenge. They can be pressure washed off, but here's a problem. On the stones at Stonehenge grows an ancient lichen. It is like a moss. It grows on those rocks. They have now killed this creature that grows on Stonehenge's rocks. So in the name of stopping oil, they have killed a creature that grows on the stones of Stonehenge. And Stonehenge, of course, is now going to have to be pressure washed. And that in and of itself can cause problems. And they will go to jail in Great Britain. Great Britain will jail them for vandalizing Stonehenge, but they decided they had to do that. These are the ones who have glued themselves to the pavement, and they've damaged works of art. Well, then there's one of the climate defense activists who charged the field when the congressional baseball team was playing. Her name is Lauren, and she has released a manifesto. "My name is Lauren," she wrote. "I'm 19 and just spent 20 hours in jail, in cells, shackles, zip ties, and handcuffs. This was my first time getting arrested, and I wasn't ready for what came next. A split-second decision decided my fate. I saw my friends jump onto the field of the congressional baseball game from a railing, and I threw myself over too. I don't remember being free on the field at all. I was immediately tackled by a Capitol Police officer and forced to the ground. I recall being handcuffed and pushed off the field. I tried to keep my head low so my parents wouldn't recognize me on the news while chanting "Off Fossil Fuels Congress" as loud as I could. These are the people who are destroying my future. I wasn't about to exit politely. The police were arrest. They took everything out of our pockets, loaded us into paddy wagons. We got to the station. Around that time, I realized that beneath the red dust, my leg was bleeding from where the cops pushed me over. The cop gave me a bandage to sweeten the deal as they told us we'd be spending the night in jail for endangering members of Congress and for unlawful entry. These are the members of Congress who a man attempted a mass assassination of a few years ago. The eight of us looked around each other wide-eyed. This was not how things were supposed to go. Really? Really? You idiot? You think you can jump onto a baseball field of a congressional baseball game whose members were nearly assassinated a few years ago and think you can get away with it? She writes, "We were not ready for this charge. I've been listening to activists share their arrest stories for years, and almost no one gets locked up overnight. This was uncharted territory." Oh, see, this is why we should be punishing the activists more. They're telling their stories, and in their stories, they're saying it didn't last long. We should make it last longer, much longer. All of us were processed. We passed time uncomfortably until 1 a.m. We were taken to our bunks for the night. We sat in a windowless van for 40 minutes, only moving for 10. Then the officers checked us into the charming central cell block, gave us customized bracelets with our mugshots on them, and locked us up with the roaches for the night. There was no possibility of sleep in jail. It was cold in the cell, and we wore T-shirts and laid on slabs of metal. They gave us cups of water that cockroaches crawled into immediately. Our neighbor would not stop screaming. Her voice blared from 2 to 6 a.m., barely stopping to take a breath. We were low-key impressed. My cellmate and I got about 20 minutes of blissful sleep before our neighbor came up with more. The cops called us one by one until I was picked. They wrapped my waist and wrist in shackles. I was waddled into an arraignment court. The endangered members of Congress charges were dropped. I saw our amazing jail support team sitting on the benches grinning, finally knowing I was in good hands. I was released into the cheering open arms of other activists, and I could have cried with relief. Notice that these members of Congress were nearly assassinated by James Hodgkinson, and the law enforcement in the District of Columbia has dropped the endangerment of Congress charges. I called my mom and actually cried when she told me how worried she was and how disappointed she was. My worst fear sitting in jail had come true. My parents found out and were furious. But I knew I could get through it. I felt sure of what I had done and why I did it. Now listen to this part. I did it because I'm being stripped of a livable future. Earlier this year, my professor told us the Atlantic Meridional Oceanic Current could shut down and trigger life-ending weather changes across the Northern Hemisphere as soon as 2025, 6 months from now. Her professor told her that's a lie. She's talking about the Gulf Stream, the warm water that flows up the northern seaboard of the United States and across to Europe, that could all stop in the next 6 months. There's no truth in that, and yet her professor told her, and she believed it. She was lied to and has taken this action and is not being punished as severely as she should, so we're going to get more of this. And that then leads me to this guy, Casey Goonan, arrested Monday morning. He lives with his parents in a $1.1 million home in Pleasant Hill, California. Feds, cops, and Cal Fire allege the 34-year-old Northwestern University doctorate of African American Studies, by the way, he's white, firebombed a Berkeley campus police car and carried out three other arson incidents on university grounds June 1st, as well as last Thursday and Friday. Charges are yet to be filed by the Alameda District Attorney's Office. His attorney, Jeff Wozniak, confirmed multiple law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, raided the home where he lives with his parents around 10 a.m. Monday morning. A bio from a 2018 academic journal states Gunan considers himself a scholar, activist, and aspiring professor. Casey got us PhD onto jobs apps, Gunan's mother wrote in 2022. He previously completed his undergraduate degree at UC Riverside. Another bio described him as an abolitionist living and working in Chicago. He turned violent, firebombed a police car, claims to be supporting the Palestinian cause, lives with his parents who live in a million-plus dollar home, white guy with a degree in African-American studies. He thinks he's the good guy. And all of these protesters have turned violent. They've turned violent because they're impatient. He's turned violent because the people who brainwashed him told him to. You know, the other thing all of these people have in common is that they went to schools and they weren't homeschooled. You don't see the homeschool kids out charging congressmen on baseball fields, destroying Stonehenge, and firebombing vehicles and buildings in California. You see the overeducated, overprivileged white kids doing it. Wozniak, the lawyer for Gunan, is already defending him on felony vandalism charges. Prosecutors say Gunan wielded a hammer during a protest outside the Women's Declaration International USA conference in September. Court documents say police saw Gunan smash the Hilton Hotel sign on Kearney Street with a hammer before he was pulled from the crowd and arrested. Protesters had gathered at the conference, which they deemed anti-transgender. Women's Declaration International has said the concept of gender identity threatens the rights of women and that transgender women should not be included in the category of women. Gunan pleaded not guilty. Until you start actually punishing these people, they're going to get more violent. We had an attempted mass assassination of Republican members of Congress several years ago, getting ready for this baseball game. This past week at that baseball game, activists stormed the field. Now their charges for endangering members of Congress are going to be dropped by progressive prosecutors in D.C. The progressive prosecutors in San Francisco are probably going to go easy on this white guy with an African-American degree study who has turned violent to the point of wielding hammers to smash property and firebombing police cars. You got the activists in Great Britain trying to destroy Stonehenge and destroying an ecosystem that lives on the rocks of Stonehenge in the name of stopping oil. Until we're willing to throw these people in prison for long sentences, it's only going to get worse. The left is turning violent, and the best they can do on TV is lecture us about right-wing violence in this country. I'm sorry, there are absolutely people on the right turning violent, but the regular pattern recurrence here is left-wing activists who've decided that Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi were suckers and maybe they should have blown people up. That's where the left is heading. They're heading in the territory of Boko Haram. The wokes of Boko Haram and the bokes of Boko Haram, they all want to destroy lives. And right now, the only thing separating the two is one's willing to kill while the other just destroys. It's only a matter of time. We're headed towards death. In fact, we already had one of these progressive activists try to murder Republican members of Congress and another one try to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh. This is where the left is headed. They are getting violent. All right. Oh, we haven't even gotten to the whistleblower yet. Yeah, we need to talk about the whistleblower in Texas. We will get there at the top of the next hour because that story in and of itself is still extremely wild. I cannot believe it. All right. We got to move on, though. Between bank collapses with hundreds more teetering on the brink and regulators fighting an unwinnable war, probably they are. And then you have the stories about Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the BRICS buying up gold reserves, expecting the U.S. to head into a recession. Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years. They're warning people about a secret war on cash. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from the secret war, keep listening for a critical free report rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets. They've got this shocking free report, The Secret War on Cash. I watched, they've got a video on their YouTube page about The Secret War on Cash. You can check it out. It's really fascinating. You can check it out at swissamerica.com/YouTube. That'll take you to the YouTube link, swissamerica.com/YouTube. Takes less than 15 minutes to read the report, and you can get it for free by calling or texting 800-289-2646. The All Out War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. 800-289-2646. Just mention my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Call or text 800-289-2646. Message data rates may apply.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every week. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Well, let me start here. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan, wherever you are nationwide. If you're buying a building or building a building, First Liberty might be able to help you. They make their own lending decisions. Go to FirstLibertyGA.com, FirstLibertyGA.com. Tell them I sent you. See if they might be able to help you. Y'all, I'm sorry. I thought this was a joke. I thought it was an April Fool's joke, but it's the middle of June. It's Juneteenth. The Buffalo Bills are proud to support the National Gay Flag Football League with a sponsorship to launch a chapter in Buffalo. The National Gay Flag Football League is a nonprofit sports organization that seeks to promote the positive social and athletic enjoyment of American flag football. The collaboration is a game changer for bringing LGBTQ+ organized football to Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills join other supportive NFL teams, including the Giants, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, Cardinals, Bears, Commanders, and Seahawks, in making our growing league even more inclusive. There is a soccer joke there, and I'm not going to make it. I am not going to be the one to make it. I thought this was a joke. Nope, this is a real thing. It is a real thing. I guess it's Pride Month, and so even though it's Juneteenth, they're making the announcement on Juneteenth for Pride Month. I'm so confused with all the intersectional holidays running together, and Juneteenth is what I like, but yep, okay, this is a real thing. Thought it was a joke, and then I thought maybe they mean football, not football, but nope, it's football. God bless them. If you want to have a gay flag football league, I think that is totally, totally fine. I'm sure it is a fun time. And it's only a matter of time before ESPN televises the games and tells the rest of us we're bigots if we don't watch. But I bet it's a fun time. A fabulous event out there. And I just, the Buffalo Bills are going to pour money into it. I was really only going to read you the story to make a soccer joke, and then I just could not get myself across the finish line because I knew every program director in America would be up in arms with their phone calls lit up. But nonetheless, not a soccer joke. It's a real thing. When we come back, we got to talk about the Texas Children's Hospital scandal.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.